Hey everybody, it's Scott Hassey here with the Champions Playbook. I am super excited to bring you this special episode. Coming off of my recent speaking engagement yesterday at the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour Tournament at Lost Key Golf Club in Pensacola, Florida. I gave about an hour and a half long presentation there, and I can't wait to share with you guys some of the things that I recognized and noticed. And I have no idea what episode number we're on. We're really close to 70, if not at 70. But if you haven't done so already, go buy a copy of my book on Amazon. It's $26.99. Go get it on there. If you want a signed copy, you'll have to go to my website, tcplaybook.com, and order a book on there, and I will send you a copy personalized and signed for you. With that, let's kind of get going into this topic. I just made a post on Instagram that said, "You are terrible at strategy, but there's something you can do about it." And that was kind of the premise of what I saw yesterday. And at this tournament, we had players from top universities, very good players in their own right, guys and girls. There were professionals at that event as well, running a kind of a separate arm with professionals. There were originally 15 players as professionals. And kind of the thought that I heard, or the phrases that I heard, I was out there with Elaine some yesterday, was things like, "I hate this golf course. This golf course is so hard." If you've read my book at all, I talk in there pretty early on. I really want players to stop saying this is a hard golf course. It might be, but it's not helpful. I just want you to see it as the architect has designed it to be. And we got to spend a lot of time on a couple of holes with some players. Saw about maybe a little more than a third of the field roll through a specific hole, hole 15 at Lost Key. And for those who haven't played Lost Key, like, it is a, quote, hard golf course if you see it that way. I actually think it's a great golf course. It's only 6,700 yards, not even 67. From the very back tees, there's hazard right and left on almost every hole, which can be very stressful to a lot of players. But there's a lot of alternatives. It's not a long golf course. You probably don't even need driver there. If the tour was playing there, they probably wouldn't even need fairway woods. Just kind of irons only kind of golf course. But it's also very, very windy, which can make it challenging. And just watching players over and over and over play the same hole poorly, a hole that if you had a number of actual tour players come through there, not because of their technique is so much better, not because their putting and chipping is so much better, but the 15th hole there, they would have been under par. It's a very basic straightaway par four. I'm going to share the video of that tonight on how that hole should be played and the way the architect has designed that golf hole. So, hang on, I am driving, and we are in dead stop traffic on the interstate headed back. So let me kind of get back to that. So the 15th hole, is a par four. It's 385 from the men's tees. So a fairly short hole. There's a bunch of, kind of natural area, waste bunker that you don't rake that kind of comes out and play. The fairway narrows significantly inside of 150 yards, and it's not wide at all anyway. So like the widest part of that fairway is probably 25 yards wide, maybe 30, and not much room right and left of that. And then it gets even narrower, probably down to 15, just a couple yards ahead of that. But watching way too many players hit driver there. It's 385 into the wind, probably playing 415, 420. And then I can't remember the specific yardage on the ladies. I think it was 340 maybe, playing 370-ish. And so Elaine and I played the hole very differently when we went out there after we watched all these groups come through. And the average score for the group of players there for the entire field was 4.55 on this very, very basic par four. And my point on a basic par four that's fairly easy for that golf course. If you can't play that hole well, that shows me how weak your understanding of course management is. And as I asked some questions to the group after the fact, which we'll get into here in a little bit, but I was asking some questions, and it just showed to me how little people realize or care about strategy or realize how important it is. It is absolutely crucial. It is critical to your performance if you want to play at the highest level. We are in a hyper swing focused, hyper fitness focused, hyper nutrition, hydration focused, hyper sports psychology focused, and all of those things have a place, but we are missing massive amounts of strokes on the hole. Kind of going through several of the holes and showing players what the scoring average for this group, this level of play should be. I said, I could take the scoring average for the three rounds that these players are going to play, and I could lower the entire field scoring average by like 7 strokes, just on strategy, 100% on strategy, not in better putting mechanics, better, you know, more time in putting, not better chipping mechanics, not better full swing mechanics, not better fitness, not better hydration, not any of that. We can drop 7 strokes like that. And that's what I'm trying to get players to see. And it's difficult and it's frustrating, but it was really helpful for me to see as I was quizzing this group that it's really, really weak. And there were a couple players in there that were just completely disengaged, but you're always going to have those like non-believers, if you will, like, well, I got the most out of my game. No, you didn't. I watched you play. There's no way you got the most out of your game. Well, I hit it bad. Of course you did, but tour players play a whole lot better when they play it bad. Like, they make more out of their game than most do, than everybody else does. And so you can do that. And there's a way to have an edge regardless of how good or bad your technique is. You can keep yourself in the golf tournament with bad, you know, shots that day if you choose different shots. In fact, your bad shots might be because you have bad strategy. So let's keep going on this 15th hole, and then I'll give you some of the questions that I asked. So the 15th hole, 385, 340 for the ladies. Super narrow, but on the, if you play it in the right half of the fairway, assuming you have that kind of control, there's a bunch of stuff that you've got to hit over between you and the flag. In addition to that, the general lay of the hole is you're hitting towards trouble with the predominant winds being out of the right and into your face. So you guys can imagine holes like this. There's water all the way down the right side of the hole. You hit it in the right half of the fairway or even into the right rough there, which has a lot of knobs in the rough, so you're not going to have an even lie. And you're hitting kind of towards trouble a little bit on the left with wind out of the right. So very visually intimidating. In addition to that, you see waste area with, you know, some bushes and grass and tall grasses and a bunker short of the green and the pins on the front edge. It's 5 paces on the green. So the pins on the very, very front, pretty much center, but there's a tier running on the right edge of that. So the nearest edge of the green is really just right of that flag. And looking at players play this hole, there was one player out of the 18 to 20, I think it was, that we watched that was on the right half of the, that was on the left half of the fairway. Now, if you get in the right half of the fairway, it gets even more intimidating because you're actually down a little bit lower and there's even taller grasses in front of you and you literally cannot see the front of the green. You can only see the flag. And so it really messes with your depth perception, and architects love to do stuff like this. But the architect gave you an out. There's more room left of the fairway, though it's not much, as you'll see in the video. But there is more room in the left of the fairway and in just left of the fairway. And the other thing is, there's, you still have to hit over a waste area, but you don't have to hit over a bunker that's in the front right half of the green. You don't have any of the bushes and stuff in front of you. It's just the sand in that waste, or that waste area. And so it's dramatically different. look from the left side of the fairway. It's a lot less stressful look, and your depth perception is incredibly better when you have that kind of look at it. And so I was super amazed at how many people hit it to the right side. And we're talking some incredibly good Division I college athletes and some really good professionals. And side note on the professionals, there were 15 players that played in the first round. Nine of them withdrew. Nine of them. I hate withdrawing for a number of reasons. One, it shows me you ain't ever going to play at the level you want to play at anyway. If you can't handle failure, good luck playing. Just shooting you straight. Like, if you can't handle a golf course that's only 6,700 yards as a professional, you can't play. You ought to just give up the game entirely if you're going to quit like that. So don't do that. Two, you've got a guy that's running the tournament, setting it up. You got players trying to play, trying to make a paycheck, and 9 of the 15 are going to drop out. I mean, there's a guy who's put all this time and work in to set up the tournament. There are other players, not to mention other players that are trying to play, and they need some competition. They want to be pushed, but you're going to drop out. So you have responsibility, I think, to the other players in the field, but especially to the people who set up the tournament, the golf course that set up the tournament, because when you drop that many people, shoot, they could have other tee times put in there, but they can't because you went ahead and were too much of a baby and couldn't handle failing. The other thing is, when you drop out like that, you literally are terrible at strategy. You are probably the worst at strategy in the bunch for those professionals. There were way more college players in there, and there were a lot fewer of them that dropped out than there were professionals. So sorry about my rant on that, but like, that's got to stop. Stop dropping out of tournaments for those two reasons. One, figure out how to play better. And it's not about hitting better. It's not about hitting the ball better. It's about making better decisions. You can do that. I don't care how hard the golf course is. And two, you've got a responsibility to the people that are setting up the tournament. I don't care if you're going, well, it's my money. I don't care if it's your money. You have a responsibility to other people. So take care of both of those things. But with that said, then after all of those balls were finished on the right half, so 18 to 20 players, not a single person hit the ball hole high. Not a one. Not a single ball got hole high. Now, it was into the wind at 15 miles an hour from 140 yards is about 22, 23 miles an hour of wind. But you should also be anticipating that you're going to be a few yards past that flag. So you've got to add additional yards to that. We added 28 yards to the shot. And in my talk, I went and filmed Elaine and I playing this hole. And both of us hit it just left of the fairway, but it was way better than being in the right half of the fairway. You were way better playing. We didn't try to hit it in the rough, but the ball curved a little more to the left than we both anticipated because the wind pushed it a little more. But we were perfectly fine at a beautiful angle. I hit it to like 45 feet and two putted. Ball jumped a little bit out of the rough. Elaine hit it to 6 feet and made the putt for birdie. And you'll see that in the video, and it'll kind of explain some things. I'll put all the pieces together for you. But both of us were at least hole high or past the hole. Two players, hole high or past the hole. And if you watch tour events, that'll happen. But these are all really good players that are all missing short of the hole. And I remember one of the girls going, well, you know, my short game wasn't good enough there. You know, I ended up three-putting. Well, you three-putted because you tried to hit a full shot. On top of it, they all hit full shots into the wind. And one guy goes, is two clubs enough? I said, no, that's maybe 20 yards. And you hit a full shot. You made a full swing into the teeth of a 15-mile-an-hour wind. You can't do that. You've got to flight that ball down. Take the spin off of it, flight it down, keep it under the wind so you've got control over where that thing ends up. A lot of balls were in the hazard. It was playable out of the hazard, but it was really tall, nasty stuff and a nasty lie. And you kind of had to chunk it out of there and just hope something good would happen. And there were a couple of players that, I think two players we saw got up and down from that. That's fantastic. Awesome job not giving up on the hole. However, you drastically increased your chances of making bogey or worse. Hit it there 10 times, you're making par one, maybe two times out of 10. And you saw it catch up with players. They kept putting themselves in situations like that. and all you needed to do was at least grab one more club, in some cases two more clubs. Both of us, I took two more clubs, but flighted it way down to keep it under the wind. Elaine took three additional clubs and also flighted it down to keep it under the wind. So, you know, we've got to really take a different look at how you play these golf holes. So, players hit it in the right half of the fairway, which you shouldn't do. I mean, I'm not saying you should try to hit it in the left half if you don't have that much control over your tee shots. But you could hit a fairway wood instead of a driver and have more control. And hit it into the widest part of the fairway and on the left side if you have some control over that. You at least need to try to favor that left side. When there's water both sides fairly equally from the middle of the fairway, you need to be trying to favor one of those sides there. And so you've got a lot more control there, plus just not taking enough club going into these greens. And then if you've got a weak short game on top of it, now you've compounded a bad tee shot decision, a bad approach shot decision, and then a poor short game on top of it. You have three compounding errors that happen over and over and over and over again. And I don't think players are trying to be too aggressive by trying to... They weren't going, oh, I got to be aggressive and go dead at this flag and hit it exactly on the flag. They just didn't understand that they need to try to hit it past this flag, and they didn't account for enough wind, and they didn't account for the best placement for the ball off the tee, which you'll see in the video this evening. And so this is the kind of behavior that happens over and over and over again. Scoring average 4.55 on the hole. Elaine and I play at 3.5 for two players. You put really good strategy players, they're going to make birdies on that hole very, very often. So, you know, that's the crux of strategy errors. The other thing that I asked, which was really intriguing, and this is not a knock on college coaches, this is a knock on the industry as a whole, because I used to be in the same category, and I'm excited to speak to some of these sections of the PGA and these golf professionals about, we have to change the way we do this. We've got to get off the range and get on the golf course. But even when we get on the golf course, we got to stop telling players, just hit it in the fairway, hit it in the middle of the green. I'm not saying hit it in the rough. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, no, it's better to hit it in the rough. But there are things that you can do that, regardless of whether you hit it in the fairway or the rough, there may be a better option. You don't have absolute control over where the ball ends up, but you have some influence over where it's likely to end up. And I said, how many of your college coaches, the ones that were college players in the room, work with you some on course management? Every hand went up. That's awesome. Congrats to your college coaches. I said, now how many of them teach you the principles that are required to do that on every single shot that you will ever face in the game of golf? Every hand went down. Every single hand in the room went down. And that to me was a mind-blowing point. And the reason why I titled this thing, "You Are Terrible at Strategy, but there's something you can do about it," is because there is something you can do about it, and you are terrible at strategy. Darn near everybody is. I'm trying to get away from the term course management. If you have an idea of a better term than course management, I'm working on them. I jotted down a very long list of possible names yesterday, but it is playing the game. It's you got to gamify your game or gamify your golf performance. It's not about hitting perfect shots. It's not about hitting the, quote, best shot. It's all about working around the golf course and understanding how the architect has set it up and understanding what you're really capable of doing. And you have some control over the decisions that you make and what you're capable of doing that day. You might have a great ball striking day going on. Awesome. Take advantage of it. You might have a bad ball striking day going on. Great. Take advantage of it in both cases. And players have to stop this. I've got to hit it better. No, your strategies suck. All of you go to the range and you go to putt. But not a one of you looked at the fact that I told you, you got seven strokes I can find out there, no problem. And that's kind of conservative. I know that seems audacious and it seems very arrogant. It's not. It is the factual truth. If everybody in that field has just mildly better strategy, that scoring average will drop like crazy for that entire field. Those players will go from players that are, you know, we're doing pretty good in some of my tournaments, to we're one of the top 15 or 20 players in the country. Is it technique? Yes. Is it practice time? Yes. Is it developing your feel with more practice? Yes. Is it fitness? Yes. Is it nutrition? Yes. Is it hydration? Yes. Is it, what was the other one that I'm missing? Is it your TrackMan data? Yes. Is it tracking your stats? Yes. But it's so much more than that. 3.25 strokes are lost on every time people go through the work in my classes. Miles College won back-to-back tournaments after I sat down with the entire team in an afternoon, and they all bought into it. Two of the guys, I talk about them in my book, that went through the 10-shot exercise, they thought I was crazy the amount of yardage I was adding to shots into the wind. They thought I was crazy by moving their targets into a certain location. Actually, I didn't move them, they did. I let them do that. They thought I was off my rocker. They finished that first hole. The first time they did that exercise, they're like, all right, he knows what he's talking about. It's not about me knowing what I'm talking about. I want other golf professionals to do it. I don't have to teach you. I'd love to teach everybody, but I can't. Everybody can learn strategy. There are a number of people in the room that I asked, do you play cards? How many of you are good at cards? Several hands stayed up in the room. I said, if you're really good at cards, like crazy good at cards, and you really are, let's assume that's true, you ought to be really good at this game too. But you're not. And I'm not talking about good at the game in terms of I can hit it really good. Or I've got, quote, the shots. But that you can really learn how to pick things apart. Best poker players in the world win on really bad hands. Because they know how to play the game. The game isn't you got to have the best cards. Do you got to get good cards? Yeah, but you can win without that. You got to wait for those to come. And they're really, really patient. They win millions of dollars doing it, and they repeat it over and over and over again. And I want you to be able to do the same. Go pick up a copy of my book. Go back and listen to some of my podcasts. Come and see me. Invite me to come see you. I'm going to go speak at some coaches associations this coming year. I'm going to the Connecticut section of the PGA next week. I can't wait to share some of the things that come out of that with everybody. But we have to change the way you play the game. 3.25 shots minimum. So just some things to really think about and to really work on in your game. And the thing I challenge players is, what I want you to do is start asking yourself, how could I have played that hole differently? Whether you played the hole good or whether you played it bad, start asking the question. And this is the what you can do about it. Start asking the question, how could I have played that differently? It may be a good option, it may be a bad option. There's always an option. Even in putting, there is an option. Even when it comes to taking penalties, there's an option. People are way too casual with taking, you know, their drops and that kind of stuff. Understand the rules that are in the game and how you can use those to help you shoot a lower score. I know they're there to penalize you when you hit it into certain places. But there's not a single option. There are multiple options, and you can handle that in a different way. So ask yourself, what could I have done different? And do not go start going into the technique thing. I'll share one last thing with you. And Elaine and I were working on this, and it kind of ties into my last point. So we played three of the holes. We played 15, 17, and 18. 18 was a very, very short par 5. It was the only hole on the entire golf course that was played under par as a hole for the field. But on 18, I hit this weird kind of toe block. I didn't hit any balls to warm up. We just played 15, 17, 18. Hit this weird toe block with a 3-wood off the tee. I didn't have my driver with me. Catches this limb on the right. Goes out there. I'm just right of the fairway. Ball's above my feet in the rough. I've only got like 260. I've got to hit it over a hazard, which I'm fine doing. But Elaine asked me a question about my technique on the tee. And then she asked me also on my second shot, she said, well, did you hold the face open there? Like, because I hung it out to the right. I was not intending to hit it to the right, just hit a little block to the right. And as we were talking later, I said, I just hit it to the right. I then pitch it up to 15 feet and make the putt for birdie from about 50 yards. And so the underlying principle for Elaine was like, okay, I've got to figure out what's wrong with my technique in order to shoot a lower score. For me, it was I just hit it to the right. I accounted for some of that in the place that I aimed. But it was an exceptionally bad shot, but it's not likely to continue. I just striped a drive on the hole before with a 3-wood, hit it about 298. And I hit this weak toe block that went about 220 off the tee on the next hole. And so the swing is going to get fixed. Like I don't practice, played 7 rounds this year. And I maybe hit 6 bags of balls over the year. Maybe 10. But I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what I'm not. So I was able to make 2 pars and a birdie. She made 2 birdies and a bogey. But getting her out of this, it's all about, like, how can I look at it and go, how could I have made a different decision? It's so easy to want to go into the technique. Well, what did I do wrong with my technique? That has a place. And I'm not saying I don't need to go work on my technique. But what I'm saying is when I am playing, I can't change that. It's like cramming for a test. I can't pull out my cheat sheet and try to figure it out. Like, I'm not allowed to pull out my cheat sheet. I've got the test in front of me. I got to play with what I got. And so just making the most of that. And so, you know, be able to be 1 under through 3 holes there. Never seen the golf course before. And Elaine to be also 1 under there through those same 3 holes. So 3 birdies and 3 holes from the two of us. So, you know, it really start asking that question. What could I have done differently? Now, even on that little block to the right, my mind wandered off of my target before I hit the shot. And I was a little uncomfortable before I hit that second shot because I was kind of, while I was stepping into the ball, I kind of had a thought that I maybe should aim a little bit different direction. So in both cases, my focus was a little off. I needed to go back and reset my routine. I got out of my routine. That simple. Was not in my routine. Wasn't a sports psychology thing. Routine is a part of strategy. I got out of my routine in those cases. Had good strategy, just got out of my routine. But I was able to make a birdie. And I was able to hit good shots on the other 2 holes. So really start changing the way you look at the game. And I know this is kind of a long talk, but really, 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 really want y'all to start asking that question. What could I have done differently? Do not go into technique. Do not go into nutrition and hydration. Do not go into fitness. I'm not saying don't ever go there. Just for a few weeks, just look at what different decisions could I have made? Or what else do I need to know about the golf course that maybe I didn't know? Maybe I need to go out and look at that hole differently. So I appreciate y'all listening, if you're still listening to this. I'm going to continue to go through my book. The professor episodes are coming up. I'll have one coming out tomorrow on Tuesday. So I'm going to keep throwing 3 to 4 of these a week out at y'all. Would love to answer your questions. I'm going to address some of the questions that I did in the talk last night, some of the ones that got asked. I'm going to throw those on here probably late in the week. So just something to think about and want y'all to consider, and hang in there, keep learning, keep playing, and you'll get there. You can do it. But before we head off, as everybody always remembers, the most important thing